We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Get ready. Hart and Cattles are about to go live on your radio, covering Boston sports and beyond. And it all starts right now. Hart and Cattles on EEI.
Hey, this is Coach Jed Fish, and I'm so excited, Wildcat Nation, to be a part of your program. So excited to be named the next head football coach at the University of Arizona and be a part of the Tucson community. We are so excited as a family to get there, be a part of this program, and get started. Bear down.
That is like the perfect introductory video that every coach will make as they get hired. Like, you've got to get the team slogan at the end of it. Bear down.
Bear down.
Oh, yeah. You got to get that in. So all the Arizona fans are like, oh, my God, he said bear down.
Bear down.
He knows it. He knows it.
He's excited. I don't know if you heard that.
He knows it because he was told
times.
It.
Right.
He didn't know much about bear down probably like 3 weeks ago.
It's on the card that's right next to the iPhone that's recording this message for you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully all of you had a really good holiday yesterday. You had a fun Christmas Eve. You're safe. You're healthy. You're feeling good about finally getting rid of 2020, which we all want in the rearview mirror.
Hey, what'd you get for Christmas? How'd you start the show without asking me what I got for Christmas and you not telling me what you got for Christmas? The hell are you doing?
Bad job by you, Cattles.
Yeah. I thought you were the host.
Just felt like that was a little cliche. But if you want to go there.
Sometimes cliche is the right way.
So you want to go there now? All right, let's go there now.
Jed Fish got his Christmas present, right? He's new head coach. $15 million. That's a pretty good Christmas present.
We handled Christmas differently this year. So we set a limit for each other and bought like smaller things. And then yesterday, the plan was to go online and buy bigger stuff for each other. Like
at a discount?
You know, some of the stuff that we want for the house and some of the stuff that... So, you know, I ended up with like a pair of Notre Dame shorts, a Notre Dame hat. You know, and some other stuff.
You should have waited. After they get blown out by Alabama, that'll probably be cheaper.
I'm excited for New Year's Day to see them get beat by 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
So we got some of that stuff. I got her some shorts and a jacket and stuff like that. But then we went online yesterday, and we're going to get a TV.
Ooh.
We're going to get phones once Kelly figures out which phone she wants. We're going to get new phones. She got one of those iRobot vacuum things. I got a new Chromebook computer deal. So we kind of just, you know,
Christmas.
We went. Yeah. Well, because
you went cheap the day before the traditional way, but then you went all out. We're ordering phones and TVs somebody credit card or something? And somebody's ID?
So we go like we usually go on like 2 really good vacations every summer. And this year we didn't go because of the pandemic. So I said, well, the money that we would have spent on vacation, hotel, airfare, you know, going out, doing things, and because we didn't do that this year, let's just push that money towards Christmas and blow it out on Christmas. So that's what we did. What'd you do? What'd you get?
See, I love being a parent and a father. There's nothing better in the world. But there's that right there is the 0.5% of a time when I'm a little bit jealous of people with no kids when they're like,
yeah, we usually do a couple vacations a year, and I ordered a TV, a new phone, a new laptop. What did I get?
Let's see. I had to buy basketball sneakers, had to pay the basketball fees, and the kids wanted this and that. Vacation. Vacations seem cheap when you start planning them until you multiply everything times 4. Well, you need multiple hotel rooms and this. So, no, I kid because I do tell my kids that I'd be rich if it weren't for them, but that's a side topic.
See, but I'm jealous of you because you've got the 2 kids and, you know, having Christmas, especially when you're not moving around during the pandemic, you know, it was Kelly and I, and I love Kelly, and but like you do wish like there was a little bit of more excitement. Something else was in the mix. And right. So, you know, if I had a kid or two, it would have been, I think, more fun yesterday, you know, watching them go through the whole Christmas thing.
It is. And I will say, you know, I thought my son was getting a little older. Maybe things would start to settle in. You wouldn't get that real cool reaction for any gifts, or it's like too cool. Oh, I'm 13. I'm too cool to react to a Christmas gift. But he got a new driver for Christmas. He's become a golfer over like the last 8 months. Lockdown pandemic. He's sort of a cliche. He joined everybody else who started playing golf when you couldn't do anything else. And he got a new driver, and he literally did the, you know, the kid like, let's go. And he's like high stepping across the room with his new big driver in his hand. Which is very cool. So my big gift was, I'm a typical dad, so it's a dad gift. We've actually talked about this, Mud at Night. My big gift, they got me an air fryer, which I'm intrigued by.
Let's go!
Yeah, it was my son getting his driver.
and it was getting the fryer.
Yes, and in light of last week's trip to the doctor for my physical and her suggestion that I change my diet. The air fryer is probably something that I could get some good use out of and make some, you know, take a half a step. Maybe not give up everything, but maybe try to do some things in a slightly healthier way. So I'm excited for that. And then I got the usual, you know, some hoodies. Oh, you know, my wife got that I would have never thought of, but is probably good for me, you know, the 40-something aging white guy dad that still coaches and works out. She got me one of those guns that, like a massage gun that all the players use now.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of looks like a drill, a power drill, but it's got like the head on it. I'm intrigued to use that because I have like, I get like sciatica and sore lower back.
I want to know how
things.
That is because I'm a mess too.
Those things are dope.
Are they?
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, they work really well.
Yeah, that was a surprise gift. Sometimes when you get surprise gifts, you're like, the bleep is this? Like, why do I want this? Why do I need this? You know, but that I was like, huh, I would have never bought this for myself.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued to try it out. And it could be one of those things that, who knows, I end up using twice a day for the rest of my life. And I'm like, oh my God, it was a life-changing gift. So
I want a full report. I want a full report on that because I want to know how that works. I want to know if it's as good as Eamon's saying it is. I also got, Kelly got me this really awesome, like, light pullover Bruins shirt. It's sweet. It's just all black with the simple logo up in the corner. It's really sweet. Eamon, what'd you get, man?
I saw you
show us some kicks.
Yeah, so I got some fresh Crocs, you know, some red Crocs. Got a rep.
Excited about Crocs, you old coot?
I like Crocs, man. You know, if you have to stand as long as I do for work, then you would like them too. It was a big pullover, like nice sweatpants, that kind of thing. A couple of dinner gift certificates. The Crown Jewel. How could I forget? Oh. My dad got me a framed 12x16 of a famous photo of Tommy Heinsohn, John Havlicek, Larry Bird, Bob Cousy.
Wow.
And red. It's from some event, and they're all in tuxes smoking cigars. It's a classic picture.
That's cool.
Got a good frame of it, so that's going up on the wall. That's the Crown Jewel.
That's good stuff.
That's man cave worthy for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it is.
That's much cooler than the Crocs. One thing was cool, one thing was whatever the opposite of cool.
Yeah,
kind of
strange there. He led with the Crocs and forgot about the picture.
I'm wearing them right now, so they were, you know, fresh on my mind.
Top of mind. Hart and Cattle Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday. So you heard from Jed Fish at the top, and I mentioned about the whole, you know, bear down thing. But Jed Fish is now gone. He's going to Arizona once this season is over. Andy, there's also been a lot of buzz about Josh McDaniels, maybe the Chargers, maybe the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
So, you know, where are we right now with this Patriots team offensively? Like, we talk about the quarterback and we talk about Cam, but when I say the offense, like, in its entirety, including the coaching staff, like, what happens? Fish is gone. What happens if McDaniels leaves? So now you not only have to figure out the quarterback position, you've got to figure out quarterback, receiver, tight end, and who's calling the damn plays? The offense itself.
Yes, I would say that guy that accused us, you don't have a boat, you don't have a guide, you don't have a canoe, you don't have a, like, offensively, what do you have? Well, sweet, we get an offensive line. Okay, so that's great. You get an offensive line. I'll agree with that. You also don't have your offensive line coach who was, you know, so Dante Scarnecchia leaves, right? then you have the potential that Josh McDaniels leaves. And I think everybody would have said, oh, Jed Fish, a year into the system, because he's only been here a year, but that's a guy that's been an NFL offensive coordinator, a college offensive coordinator. He's been around a lot. Modern systems, right? The run, the RPO, those types of systems. Wow, he could be a really interesting, intriguing mind moving forward. Oh, well, he's out the door now. You have very close to an empty cupboard on offense.
Right.
And personnel, yep. And now the coaching staff. I don't know. You know, Ivan Fears, your running backs coach, is not a consideration. He's aging. He's had a great career. He does a great job with that group, but he's not going to be the offensive coordinator. The two young offensive line coaches, Cole Popovich, Carmen Brasillo, not really options. Mike Lombardi's son, friend of Bill Belichick, Angle. Yeah. He's your wide receivers coach. Could you talk yourself into he's been around? Because he's been around a bit, the 49ers, the Jets, but he's really only been an assistant quarterbacks coach up until now. I mean, that would be a big leap. So I know there was one name brought up on our conference call that I want you to serve up, because that's your specialty as the host of this program, that I think is both an intriguing and potentially infuriating name.
All right, so I've got three or four names. I think I know the one you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But some of the names I look at, let's say McDaniels goes, and now you're without Fish, you're without McDaniels. You need to find the guy that you can trust that has done a job similar to this one, and you feel pretty confident in. I think you've got three or four possibilities which you could bring up. Chip Kelly. Now, I know that Chip Kelly is at UCLA. They haven't played that well. He hasn't done a great job. I don't know how long he's going to remain the head coach of that program. He has a great relationship with Belichick. They're friends. Of course, he's from the New England area. So I could see Chip Kelly as a possible way to get out of UCLA. And if Chip is thinking, maybe I'll have a future in the NFL, hey, Belichick is 68 years old. Maybe if I'm the OC for a couple of years in New England, and then Bill retires, and especially if Bill's still calling the shots, maybe I'll be the next head coach of the New England Patriots. So Chip is a name that I think is interesting. Kevin O'Connell is a name that I think is interesting. He has a history with New England. He's out in LA right now with the Rams. But of course, that's Sean McVay's offense. McVay's calling the offense. So if O'Connell wants to come back to New England, he has a relationship with Belichick. Offensive guy. He's young. A lot of people think very highly of him. I think O'Connell is a really good name to look at. Bill O'Brien is somebody. If O'Brien can't get a head coaching gig somewhere else, Bill O'Brien is somebody. Of course, he knows the Patriots offense like the back of his hand. He would be a good fit. The guy I think you're talking about is Chad O'Shea. And I brought up Chad O'Shea's name during these calls because, you know, first, yes, I know he's in Cleveland. They're a playoff team. He's the OC. But again, that's another situation like McVay in L.A. where Kevin Stefanski is calling the plays. That is Stefanski's offense. And if O'Shea wanted to be the head coach of the offense like we hear Josh McDaniels is, then maybe O'Shea would be willing to jump over to the Patriots, and he's a guy that knows the system.
That actually wasn't the name I was thinking about, but
really?
We can talk about that name. I think Chad O'Shea is intriguing on one level because he was obviously here. He was the wide receivers coach for an extended period. I don't even know if it was 10 years, 9, somewhere in there. Got the duties which come in those late preseason games where Bill lets a different coordinator call the plays. He did that at least once, maybe twice. So there was some idea that maybe that was the trajectory he was on, maybe next in line, kind of just in case he was the guy to be prepped for. And then he goes to Miami. The bottom falls out in Miami with Brian Flores. He's kicked out of there before he even finishes a season as the offensive coordinator, lands in Cleveland. I'm not sure that they would want to revisit that. The Billy O'Brien one, if Brian were interested, I think there's a good chance that they would look into that. I think Bill respects Billy O'Brien. Now, I don't know whether he would. That's a sort of a step back. You're kind of going back home again because you were a head coach in college, you're a head coach in the NFL. Do I want to revisit what I was? I don't know about that. Chip Kelly, I'm intrigued by just because new age guy, relationship with Bill clearly is a good one, an affable one. I mean, they just used UCLA through that relationship when they were out on the West Coast. You know, there was obviously the Devin Asiasi letter of recommendation, phone calls late in the process there to bring him as the draft pick. And for Chip Kelly, I think it makes sense because he's not exactly doing well at UCLA. And, you know, he failed in the NFL. That's one thing. But I think everybody thought, well, he was so good in college. He rose up the ranks. You go from New Hampshire to Oregon, like fun offense and the tempo and the winning and the Mariota and the this and the that. Oh, that'll work in college. Like UCLA's back. That was the idea when they hired him. Hasn't exactly worked out that way. So he's not a sure thing in college anymore. Maybe bring that offense to the NFL. There's more teams running college-like offense in the NFL. Now, he's a dictator, I feel like. So that would be interesting to me. Like Chip Kelly as sort of the dictator of his own programs.
Yeah.
Can he live under the ultimate dictator, Bill Belichick?
Could he subjugate his ego, right? To coexist.
I don't. That's a tough sell on me. So the name you didn't bring up that I thought you were going to bring up, which... So we know right now Bill Belichick's the head coach of the New England Patriots. He's the GM. He's the be-all, end-all. We know that Steve Belichick is the de facto defensive coordinator. Doesn't have the title, but he calls the plays. He's kind of the biggest man on the depth chart on defensive coaching. Well, there's another Belichick on the coaching staff, right? Brian Belichick, who has bumped around in various roles with the team for a long time. And Bill has said on a number of occasions, maybe nobody knows the Patriots better than his kids, because whether they knew it or not, they've been immersed in the Patriot quote-unquote way, system, culture, everything, their whole lives, right? They were brought up in it from 2000 on. They've been here forever. Meetings, you know, Brian Belichick was like, I don't even know, 12 years old, and he's taking notes for his dad on the sideline on the clipboard, right? So he has been immersed in this. So what would you think of Brian Belichick taking over as not the offensive coordinator? Because, you know, Bill's not big on titles. We don't need him, whatever. We just worry about jobs being filled. A young, up-and-coming, big defensive mind, but also has worked on offense. Great family lineage, the ultimate root or branch from the tree. He's got it all. Brian Belichick. Did I sell you?
I'll answer you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Your question coming up next. Hart and Cattle. Ooh, Sports Radio, nice. WEEI.
We're right back to Hart and Cattle on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, so we're talking about this Patriots offense. And no, we're not talking about Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham, at least not yet. I feel like every conversation on the radio the last several weeks when we talk offense with this team, it's always about Cam's future, who the next quarterback is. Andy and I instead are looking at the coaching and where this offense is overall. You know, Jed Fish this past week, he leaves the team. He's going to Arizona to be the head coach. There's a lot of buzz again about Josh McDaniels possibly going to the Chargers or the Jaguars or, you know, whatever team's going to have an opening. There could be 8 or 9 openings for a head coach in the NFL this offseason. So with Fish gone and maybe McDaniels gone, what does that mean for the offense? Who do you bring in to coach the offense? And before we went to break, Andy brought up a name, Brian Belichick. And of course, we know that Steve Belichick is working with the defense, calling the defensive plays. So Andy brought up the idea of an all Belichick coaching staff, a triumvirate up top, a trio with Steve defensively, along with Bill defensively and the head coach, of course. And then you'd have Brian on the offense. And Andy, you asked me how I would feel about that. I would hate it with every fiber of my being. I would hate the idea of Brian Belichick running the offense. I would hate it with the heat of 1,000 burning suns. I don't want more Belichick. I really do. Like, okay, Bill, great, one of the best of all time, awesome. You already got Steve on the defensive staff. He's calling the plays. But if you're going to sit there and bring in Brian Belichick to be the offensive coordinator, if they ever went down that road, I just hate the idea. And it's not only because a texter sent in 37937 from the 781, too much groupthink going on at Patriot Place. No one will, you know, change what Belichick thinks. No one will challenge him. That's absolutely part of it. The other part, though, I don't want a newbie. I don't want somebody who is going to get thrown into the job. We've heard that McDaniels is the head coach of the offense and Bill's the head coach of the defense, and that's how the team operates.
Yep.
I need somebody to come in that can be that head coach of the offense. I need somebody that has experience. I need somebody that can handle himself in any kind of situation. I don't need a first-timer. Like, I need somebody, at least somebody who is involved with a really good offense, like a Kevin O'Connell out in L.A., which I think would be a fantastic selection for the Patriots if they went that route. But we're looking at this offense. You're either going to be dealing with a veteran quarterback, which I think will be better to work with a veteran coach, somebody that knows, you know, how to handle those guys, or you're going to be starting from scratch with a young quarterback out of the draft. And with this transition from McDaniels to the next guy, I don't need any hiccups along the way. This team has enough questions. This team has enough weaknesses and holes to fill. I want somebody who is the steady hand that I can look at and say, all right, I believe that that guy can run this offense. I don't know enough about Brian Belichick, and he hasn't proven himself at the NFL level as a play caller or even involved much with offense, so I'm staying away from that. I'm absolutely staying away from that idea of another Belichick being on top of this organization and helping run the team on Sundays.
Okay, a couple things. Another name I should have thrown out there that I didn't mention was, and it does not suit you or fit your criteria at all, but Nick Caley, the special, the tight ends coach. We all know how important the tight end position is to the Patriots offense is supposed to be, isn't in terms of production, but
yeah.
They care about the tight end position. And so he's, you know, involved in the running game. He's involved in the passing game and pass protection and everything. So Nick Caley is a guy that's been around long enough that I think they like, that is an ascending young coach on the staff. Certainly doesn't fulfill your criteria of sort of a veteran, you know, been in charge before type of coach. But he's a name we should keep in mind or at least throw out there. And then to counter the texter, who said too much groupthink. Now, I don't know what you believe or not believe from Bill Belichick, but Bill has actually said that it's the opposite of that, that his sons are quite comfortable, more comfortable than a lot of people
in
busting his balls, basically, and saying, you know, that's dumb, or why are you doing, questioning him, as any father knows, like a lot of young men are very, very capable of doing. If you're just a father, you know your son is willing to ask you why, or why do I have to do this, or why are we doing it that way? And Bill has said, I think on our station a couple times with the OMF guys, about how, like, Brian and Steve, and Brian, for what it's worth, we should just, is the safeties coach right now. Brian and Steve are comfortable because he's their dad. Like they don't have to fear like getting fired or whatever, like a normal guy might, I guess, because he's dad, that they're comfortable criticizing him. But I also think there's another interesting aspect here. Like you mentioned, they've run the same offense forever. Like they've had coordinators and they've had different personnel, but since Charlie Weiss and Bill Belichick arrived and they were sort of the architects of what this offense wanted to be, the Ray Perkins and the whole, as they put it together, it's been the same offense. Basically, most of the same verbiage. You know, the personnel changes dictated it to look differently. Two tight ends, Moss and Welker, run first. Like, there's been various manifestations that way. Would they be willing, because Tom Brady's gone, and because you're looking for a quarterback, and because maybe you're even trending towards a more modern or, you know, high school, college, RPO, athletic offense,
yeah,
would they be willing to go dramatic, right, and change sort of the whole scheme, verbiage, whatever it may be, and would that predate Belichick's departure? And I don't mean push him out the door, but I mean just the realization, well, yeah, Belichick's here for a few more years. He's aging. Like, he's 68 years old. Do we want to make a decision to strictly stick with the Belichick-Weiss way on offense, or do we start the process in sort of a multi-phased, step-like approach to, let's go to a new offense. Let's really, we got to blow up the coaching staff, so why not take this as the opportunity? Young quarterback, young coordinator, maybe it's O'Connell. Maybe it's Kevin O'Connell, right? Jed Fish came from the Rams last offseason. Maybe Kevin O'Connell comes from the Rams, and you go, yeah, we're kind of going in that direction of what they do out in L.A., what Sean McVay has done. I think it's interesting. I don't know that Belichick would sign off on it or buy into it, but I think it'd be an interesting possibility.
What's interesting is the stability of this organization. Like, whether you love or hate McDaniels, there's been stability in that position of offensive coordinator. And during a very rocky time on the field with the Johnnies and Joes and some of the decisions that have been made, you know, to have a shakeup behind the scenes in the coaching staff, I don't think is ideal. And I know some people, you know, we got a text coming in at the 37937 text line from the 860. Good. Fish and McDaniels suck. First, I would disagree with that. I don't think McDaniels sucks. I think if you look at offensive coordinators around the NFL, even if you're not the biggest fan of McDaniels and think he's the best offensive coordinator in the league, a lot of people would say, and I'd be in agreement with this, he's really a top five or six play caller in the league. And, you know, he's been handcuffed. Does that mean he's flawless? No. His red zone play calling has left a lot to be desired at times this year. But overall, when you talk about offensive minds, McDaniels is one of the most respected guys in the league. So if you lose him, you've got to replace him with somebody that I think brings substance. And you need somebody that you can trust. So, you know, a former head coach like a Bill O'Brien or a Chip Kelly, that might be the route you go. Or you can bring somebody in who will be that next step, like you're saying, Andy, and kind of evolve this offense and try to kick it into 2021 and beyond. And so it's going to be a very interesting offseason. We get wrapped up with the roster. We talk about the quarterback position and what Belichick will do in the draft and all those kinds of things. I mean, we're going to have a lot of conversations during the offseason about what this team is going to look like in 2021 and what this front office needs to do to try to get them back to contention. But the one thing that we can't overlook is who is going to be helping Belichick run the program. You know, and I think it's one of those, in prior years, if McDaniels left, you could always say, well, they've got Brady. He knows the offense. You know, you don't have to necessarily bring in a chief, so to speak, to be that guy. But with this situation, that's what you're going to need. You're going to need to bring somebody in who can transition this offense, work with the new quarterback, if it is a new quarterback, like we think it will be, and somebody that has some kind of gravitas, like somebody that you believe in, is what I would think Belichick would look at. I think Belichick would have to go to one of the guys that he has a relationship with, has some trust. That's what I would think. I find it very hard to believe, with as much change as I think we're going to see this offseason, I would find it hard to believe that Belichick would be willing to also change his offense from like scratch and say, no, we're going to bring somebody in that's completely outside the box, not a Patriot system kind of guy. Maybe he does it. But looking at the last 20 years, this program has been defined by consistency and system and all that. I just have to imagine that's what Belichick is going to do this offseason as well.
Yeah, it would very much surprise me if what I just brought up, the idea of him sort of handing the keys over to the future of the offense and dramatic changes and system change and all that. So yeah, Billy O'Brien, guys like that are probably the most likely candidate. I would also say it could be a tell, or that voice could at least have a role in, they're looking for quarterbacks. We don't know how the quarterbacks are going to play out, what they're looking for. Is it just a young draft pick to pair with Cam Newton? Is it a veteran and a draft pick? Who knows what it is, but they're on the lookout to bring quarterbacks in.
Right.
And who you turn, because one's going to come before the other. The coaching staff's changes will come early. Jed Fish is already the head coach at Arizona. He's leaving as soon as the Jets game ends, right? He's gone. He's out of the picture. Josh McDaniels will be interviewing at that point, in all likelihood. He could be gone within that first few days, that first week, right? And then Bill's going to start to put together a staff that you'd think the offensive coordinator would be involved in the process of. What are we doing in terms of the quarterback position? Are we looking for athletes? Are we looking for a young developmental guy? Are we going to get a veteran? We trying to, you know, do the Patriot, Jimmy Garoppolo, whatever those options are out there, especially if it's a proven guy. If Billy O'Brien is here, now, Texans fans would probably tell you that you don't necessarily want Billy O'Brien picking your quarterback. They had some issues there until they got Deshaun Watson. But that guy is going to have a voice in the story of the offseason, and the story of the offseason is going to be the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I think, listen, we talk about the QB, the QB, the QB. That is the most critical decision that Belichick will make this offseason, how to handle that spot.
Yep.
It could be a close second. Who's going to be helping with the offense? Like, that could be the next question that is the biggest question on the table after you get by the quarterback decision. And, you know, it's interesting because you can go different ways with this, right? You can stick with the stability. You can go with the offense that they've run forever. Or you can do what Green Bay did, which was, you know, they went out, got Matt LaFleur, and he ends up being perfect for Aaron Rodgers. And, yeah, right. there was a learning curve last year with LaFleur's offense versus McCarthy's offense. McCarthy's offense is more vanilla and all that stuff. And LaFleur has more, you know, misdirection in the backfield and pre-snap movement. So it took a little while, but now you see the results. Now you see a better Aaron Rodgers at 36, 37 years old. So, you know, maybe you just go get the quarterback and find the guy who can, you know, fit well with the quarterback. If you go out and get a veteran, maybe you get somebody who has worked at a prior stop with the veteran. But the decision of getting the quarterback and also finding the person who is going to work hand-in-hand with that quarterback every single day, two gigantic decisions for not only this, you know, upcoming 2021 Patriots team, but the next 3-4 years of this organization.
I'm going to throw another name out there that you've never heard probably, and most fans probably haven't heard. And I'm not sure he's a real candidate, and he is kind of my boy. So
all right, hold on to it. Hold on to
it. Oh, you want me to hold on to the name?
Yes.
The secret name, the dark horse candidate for Patriots offensive coordinator. The guy you've never heard of, but maybe you should have.
Who is that?
Ooh, look at that tease from Andy Hart. He'll give you the name next. Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio, WEEI. From the 860, good. Fish and McDaniels suck. First, I would disagree with that.
Good point by a texter.
Saturday calls for more sports talk, and we got it for you right here. Back to Hart and Cattle's on EEI.
You know, I mean, one of the good things about, you know, Steven and Brian is that they, you know, aren't afraid to, you know, tell me when they think I've screwed something up, which is fairly regularly. So, you know, the good perspective there on keep me in check. And that's, like I said, that's helpful too. But they work hard. You know, they know our system. I know they haven't been on the staff, you know, but they have been on the staff. You know, they've been in team meetings and they've heard, you know, stuff since, you know, for 21 years.
Ah, some self-deprecating humor from Belichick, eh?
Yeah. And how about Eamon digging it up? Nice job, Eamon. He's not taking like an extended Christmas break. He's bringing
it. I don't play,
it
boys. We back.
No, nice he's job. Ready. Shot out of a cannon. So you, before we went to break, Andy, you wanted to bring up a name that you think could be a dark horse. We're talking about the Patriots offense. Jed Fish has gone to Arizona once this season is over. There's a lot of talk yet again about Josh McDaniels going somewhere else to be a head coach, which begs the question, Andy and I are asking, what the hell would be next? If Fish and McDaniels both leave, what does Belichick do at the offensive coordinator position? What would we like to see him do? And we went through some names, Chip Kelly, Bill O'Brien, Kevin O'Connell. Brian Belichick was brought up by Andy. Andy, you have another name.
What if I told you there was a candidate who played his college football in the greater Boston area, maybe even for a NESCAC school like Bill Belichick himself, not Wesley, in a different NESCAC school? What if I told you in the past he worked his way up the Patriots coaching ranks for a while, starting as the lowest of low-level assistants and getting his way all the way up to tight ends coach, may have dabbled in coaching at UMass and some various other locales, and now finds himself as a highly ranked assistant on Sean McVay's staff? I believe he was the passing game coordinator for the Rams over the last year plus, worked with Jed Fish in that role a year ago. What if I told you somebody named Shane Waldron could be a candidate to be a offensive coordinator here in New England, given his relationship to the Patriots and given his relationship to the Rams and Sean McVay, which seems to be the way to go with offensive gameplay in the modern 2020-2021 season? Shane Waldron, a name you haven't heard, but maybe you should.
Interesting. An interesting name. It kind of falls in line with the Kevin O'Connell idea of maybe going to the Rams, getting a younger play caller, a young guy who has a different idea of offense and what the Patriots could do. And if you bring in a young quarterback, especially out of the draft, somebody who can mold him, because that's also part of this too, Andy, right? I mean, whoever you bring in, if you do end up drafting a young quarterback, you want somebody that you believe will be in New England for at least the first couple of years. The worst thing that Belichick could do is bring in somebody as the OC. And you bring in somebody, so maybe an O'Connell would not be a good idea because his name is so sexy out there. If you bring in O'Connell and he ends up taking over this offense and they have a good season with a young quarterback, O'Connell could be gone by 2022. And if you're Belichick, you want that steady hand for the first couple of years. You don't want your rookie quarterback dealing with two different play callers the first 2 years. So maybe that would force Belichick's hand, and he would stick with somebody that he knows who's been around for a while, which begs the question, Belichick's 68 years old, and not a lot of people that I know that are in their 60s wake up and change as human beings. And what usually makes them successful, they believe in because of what they've learned throughout their life, and they usually will stand by, you know, what they've done in the past. So it does beg the question, Andy, let's say McDaniels leaves, you've got to fill that OC spot. Do you think Belichick would go outside the box? Do you think he would be willing to change it up, so to speak, and bring somebody in who might not be within the Patriot system and say, no, I think bringing that guy in will be the change that we need, and we'll kickstart a different kind of 2021.
I give Bill Belichick credit. I think he always listens to everything. I think he considers everything. But my instinct would tell me no. I mean, let's just look at a couple years ago when the defensive staff was the one that we had to talk about the extreme turnover. Matt Patricia had left 1 year. Brian Flores, not even the coordinator. He's the play caller. He leaves. He takes a bunch of guys with him. Basically, the entire staff got turned over on defense. And he didn't go outside the Belichickian Patriot world, right? He promoted his son. He brought Gerard Mayo from the business world to coach the linebackers to be a significant voice. He kept some guys. He had Brett Bielema was on the staff. He kind of reconfigured the roles. But it was still the Patriots defense. It was still the same thing. There was a lot of turn, you know, kind of keeping it in-house there. I think he always prefers to keep it in-house. So I do think it's hard for me to envision this extreme, you know, turn the offense over to a whole different scheme, whole different mindset. Another guy we left out, this is bad on me, but bad on you too. You should have thought of this too. I don't know how much of a football mind I'd consider you, but you do host a podcast with the great Greg Bedard. So you got to let's go. It just came to me. So we talked about Gerard Mayo a year ago, not this year, but a year ago, there were seemingly more split duties in terms of the defensive leadership, play calling. You know, early in the year, it looked like they even within games. Now it's become Steve Belichick more regular. But so they brought Gerard Mayo in, having very much, you know, no experience, and he was in a key role. There's a guy on the staff who, like Belichick's kids, has been immersed in the Patriots offense for decades, is on staff now in a coaching role at multiple positions. He's worked with wide receivers. He's worked with running backs. He's worked with return men. Troy Brown. What about Troy Brown as a consideration? This, I know, flies in the face of Belichick be willing to change things. This would be Troy Brown running the Charlie Weiss offense that he learned, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right. Well, that would be my concern. See, because if you bring in somebody like, if you brought somebody in who has never called plays before, like inside game, never called plays before, that to me is a problem. Like Belichick, yes, you had Mayo, you had Steven, you know, acting as co-coordinators, whatever the hell their titles were last year. Now you've got Steve making the calls, but you inevitably had Belichick above. Like Belichick's going to make those calls, and, you know, so he can guide those younger guys. And people that haven't made the calls before during live action, you can't have that done offensively. Like, I don't think Belichick would be able to call defense, offense. Like, yeah, he can say, all right, we should run the football here in general terms. But I think you need somebody who has that experience. You need somebody to say, okay, now it's like 3rd and 6. It's late in the fourth quarter. It's a one possession game. What's the call right now after what this defense has run all day long? Like, you need that quick thinking. This is what we're going to do. And I just think an experienced, steady hand is where you would want to go. And I think Belichick, I agree with you with Belichick. I think Belichick will likely do what he's done for his entire life. And, you know, frankly, why would he change it up? I know many of us, we find it sexier if you bring in a new name and somebody that's going to do things different, and, you know, maybe that'll change some things. It'll spice the offense up. But if you're Belichick, you go, wait a minute, guys. Like, I've made it to 9 Super Bowls. I've won 6 rings doing what we do. Why in the hell would I change any of that? Because of one mediocre year? Like, that's not enough for me to just change the system and change who I am fundamentally and approach this offseason, you know, so different than I would have approached other off seasons.
Okay, so keep listening. I'm spitballing on the fly here. I'm actually picking up some steam, and I'm enjoying this. Another guy. So let's just say Troy Brown comes in as sort of the youthful young leader, but holdover who's promoted within the system. But you're right. He's never called plays before, and there's probably, you know, an art to that. So you need somebody else who maybe could be a senior offensive architect. Charlie Weiss is in the booth as your senior offensive consultant, while Troy Brown takes over sort of the play calling on field sideline duties.
I mean, I could see something like that happening theoretically. I could see you bringing in the old sage, the guy who would, you know, he would actually be the Belichick of the offense and kind of oversee it, and you let, you know, Troy Brown do what he does. The other issue, though, I think, when you talk about bringing somebody in who hasn't necessarily done the OC job before, I go back to the quarterback relationship. Like, I would like to have somebody in that spot who has dealt with quarterbacks as a coach on the sideline. You know, what happens if you bring in a young quarterback and he's going through some struggles? You know, what do you say to that guy? How do you say it? How do you try to get him out of a rut? I think the Patriots right now are in such a spot where they're going to have to go through enough change anyway on the field. I just feel like changing anything dramatically or bringing in a newbie to handle this stuff, it's almost too much of a risk for me. Like, I would rather be safe and conservative with this selection than go way outside the box, because if you go way outside the box and it doesn't work, now not only does it not work for your offense, but you also risk damaging your young quarterback. I mean, how many times do we see, look at Sam Darnold with the Jets. Adam Gase has not helped Darnold, right? So how many times do we see a young quarterback, if he has the wrong coach guiding him, that young quarterback doesn't get as much out of his career as he should have? So I just think the experience means a lot with the situation that the Patriots are going through right now. They need credibility. They need stability. They need experience to help bring this offense into 2021 and beyond.
So my first reaction to that is, and the more we talk about this, we should remind everyone, you did not miss breaking news. Josh McDaniels is still the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. We don't know for sure that he's getting a head coaching job. It may just be Josh, right? You know, when he turned his back on the Colts, who knows how that changed things. And, you know, as Reese reported, Bill was going to open his world to him. Maybe Josh is in this for the long haul. Maybe Josh isn't going anywhere. My second reaction is, so it sounds to me like your first call would be to Billy O'Brien, that he kind of checks off as many boxes as possible for you in terms of leadership, experience, continuity, has worked with young quarterbacks.
My number one would be O'Connell. If I thought
really?
O'Connell...
Because that's a huge change.
Well, if I thought O'Connell was going to be in it for the long haul, like if I thought O'Connell was willing to stay for like 2, 3, 4 years, then I'd probably lean O'Connell because I do think he has experience in the Patriots system. But he also has experience with McVay. He has been put in a position to call the plays. He was the guy in Washington when Jay Gruden got kicked out and stuff like that. He moved over to be the guy. Yep. He's worked with as a quarterback's coach. He's worked with young quarterbacks and veterans. Last year, he worked with Alex Smith. And, of course, he worked with Dwayne Haskins. He's now working with Jared Goff. He's learning from Sean McVay, who I think is one of the best play callers in the NFL, if not the best play caller in the league. So he's learning from McVay, and he's younger. And if Belichick is going to, let's say Belichick's going to bounce 2 or 3 years down the road, like now you're also grooming maybe O'Connell to be that next guy to be the head coach. But, you know, I don't know if O'Connell is going to stay with New England if he took the job in the first place. I don't know if he's going to stay there for 2, 3, 4 years and wait it out. So, you know, I do like the idea of O'Connell. I do like the idea of Bill O'Brien. I do. I think he would be a seamless fit. I think he's, you know, the only thing with O'Brien that concerns me is with Houston, he was oddly conservative at times when he shouldn't have been.
Yep.
And I wonder if he would be better if he had, you know, kind of Belichick overseeing it and you know, making sure that O'Brien doesn't call a horrendous run call third and long because they have a lead. Like, I would hope Belichick would help that part of the equation. But I do think O'Brien would be on the list for me, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you could have a nice dynamic where you trust Billy O'Brien as an experience. But, yeah, it's fair to question him, and I think Bill, he doesn't have to oversee the offense, but he can just use sort of that veto power, that head coach. Wait, what are we doing here? Why are we doing it like this? Like, let's run the 6-minute offense. Let's run the hell out of it. Whatever you know, where you just kind of inject a little, let's not get silly, stupid, whatever, Billy O, Belichick imprint on it. But I think Kevin O'Connell's an intriguing guy. Another guy that's been brought up by Dice, our guy on Twitter, is Ken Dorsey, who's a rising star in Buffalo. I just assume Ken Dorsey is going to replace Brian Daboll. I think Brian Dable's going to become a head coach. Your Bills want to have continuity with their young quarterback, Josh Allen, so Dorsey just takes over in Buffalo. But, I mean, this is going to be the talk. They need some offensive mind. They need some direction offensively if Josh McDaniels moves on. So, no idea is a dumb idea. Well, some might be, but...
Some. Just 617-779-7937 to telephone over the text lines 37937. He is Andy Hart. I'm Nick Cattles. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. You can follow me at Nick C Radio. Hart and Cattles, WEEI on Saturday morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.